Now, understand, I have no objection to electronic storing of information in one way or another. Something we just have to face. But I have my concern on whether or not it will always do what we would like it to do. In part because your computer doesn't put information into itself. We still have to put it in. But even more seriously, we have to know how to put it out. And perhaps, at least for a time, we have to know when to abandon what a database can give us and look at the literature for ourselves. How the society is going to be involved in this, I think, is inevitable. After all, publication is our reason for being. We've got to follow what is done. Let's hope for the best. I wish I could participate, but I can't. This area I can only view from the outside, perhaps wrongly. I hope not. Now, what else besides publication? Well, as I said before, at least intimate, what we can do is just continue doing what we've been doing. When something new comes along and needs a place, as long as at least electrons are involved, give them a home. Let's see what they can do. They don't always do well. There have been some new sections of the society which flopped. Most of them, really, though, have come along. And sometimes only for a period, and sometimes as permanent members of the society. The electronics division of the society is, of course, an example. It's been a very strong part of the society, and it could well have been missed if the people of the society hadn't been willing to accept some new things. Well, the transistor, of course, is an outstanding example. And it was largely because those who were responsible for most of the work were active Electrochemical Society members and persuaded the society to start publishing more actively in this area in opposition to electrical engineers.
Was Bruce Hannay involved in that?
Yes. He's a past president, of course. Even more strongly, although not so obviously, was Bob Burns.
Oh. That was his predecessor, wasn't Burns?
Yeah.
Hannay's predecessor at Bell Labs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Bob was the secretary of the society. Very much instrumental in changing over the society's meeting activities and publishing activities. Very, very much so. And, of course, he was past president, but he was also a very influential secretary. And a gentleman, a very fine gentleman. I can remember the meeting of the board of directors at which I attended as, I think, publication chairman. And Bob told us about the transistor invention. And Jake Warner was president at the time, president of the society. And Jake and I always went to Keene's Chop House for dinner after the meeting. And our principal item of conversation was the transistor that we had heard about for the first time. And this was before it was published. It was interesting. Mm. I must say that we didn't predict very accurately. No idea at all of what it would develop into. So the society in the future should continue to do what it's been doing. and not be afraid to have at whatever may be developing.
The last question is, what do you see as the future for electrochemistry? Is it alive and well?
I was going to say that I don't see any end to it. And after all, electrons are pretty well established, even though quarks and whatnot come along. seriously, electrochemical phenomena, certainly, will in one form or another prevail always. And I think the only thing that could really prejudice the future of the electrochemistry as a sort of a separate science is that there will get to be so many branches that will establish themselves rather strongly that electrochemistry as such, as a term, might disappear. But only as a term. I think actually the field will always remain, but it may get even more diverse and branched than it is now. But there are some limiting factors to the growth, which are self-limiting. We get too many people on the board of directors in too many fields. There's going to be a time when the elections will not be as active in some field as in others, and there will be a shift. Our board of directors is dictated as far as numbers of directors are concerned by our membership. We're incorporated under the laws of New York State, and there are certain restrictions, which I don't remember in detail anymore, on the number of members on the board of directors. It's mandated on in certain ways. And one of the effects of this, I think, is to sort of limit overexpansion. Simply because if you get too many fields, there will be some new ones that can't find a place on the board of directors for their officer. And to some extent, that's occurring now. It's been sort of semi-solved in a way by establishing not only sections and divisions, but also groups. And the groups have no representation on the board of directors, simply because the board of directors is filled. For those groups to become more actively represented in the affairs of the society, they just have to wait for an opening. One way to do this, of course, would be to enlarge the membership so as to provide additional seats. This is not likely to happen. I think our membership is going to stay pretty constant. It runs about 5,000 and has for some time. I think this is about the limit. I'm not sure why, but apparently this is what happens.
What's the possibility of ECS spawning a new organization if one of its divisions gets big enough to specialize enough to go out on its own?
I think there's every possibility of it. And I'm trying to remember what this has ever occurred. There's a group, I'm not sure what they're called, but it's a materials group. And this group comprises as ringleaders quite a few electrochemical society members. There's no friction between the new group and the society, but they do encompass areas which the Electrochemical Society has been active in, materials. I'm sorry to be so vague about this. Is Eric Pell on your list of prospective?
Not at this point. Uh-huh. And I'm not involved in selecting who goes on the list.
Uh-huh. This is... Eric is an industrial. And this group is largely comprises industrial people. And I unfortunately have to be vague about it. But I know that there is... This group is to some extent an offspring of the Electrochemical Society, although they may not realize it nor claim it, because it's the same people that comprise both groups. But I think this is an unusual. I think more frequently the field has petered out and thereby relieved the Electrochemical Society of an area which is no longer very important. And I can give a very specific example of this, and that's the field of electrothermics. When I joined the Society, this was the ringleader group. And they were mainly interested in carbon electrodes, either for electric furnace operation or for industrial electrolysis like chlorine alkali. And they were very powerful. Today they are as nothing. Mm-hmm. But they have not established any area of interest, largely because there's very little going on in that field and very likely not to go on, particularly in the making of electrodes for electrothermic operations. It's rather different in the chlorine caustic. This is a very, very important field for electrode development, but not graphite and carbon. This is a new area entirely, which has been very strong in the Society. But they are not electrothermics. Mm-hmm. The electrothermics is steel making and abrasive making, silicon carbide and graphite itself. Those were strong, very strong people, and supported society financially as well as scientifically. But they have just faded away. Mm-hmm. And I think this has happened to some extent in practical electroplating. There's hardly anything now in the activities of the Electrochemical Society having to do with actually producing a product. This has been taken over pretty well and properly by the Electroplaters Society. It's been taken over, but horribly done. So here was an area within the Society's section, or division rather, which is lost in one way, but still is with us in a new way. And this has happened in other fields also. And, of course, I've been very closely associated with the electroplating or electrodeposition field, and perhaps this has made me a little bit more conscious of what has happened there. But it used to be that the electrodeposition division papers were largely actually concerned with actually electrodepositing metal. Today, the electrodeposition division people never deposit any metal. All they do is rig up their galvanostats, their potentiostats, and their other stats, and publish curves. Which is fine. That's fine. I'm not objecting at all. But it's just shown what can happen within a division without losing the division itself, but with losing completely not only the subject matter, but the people. For instance, I'm getting to the point where almost all of the people that I knew well in my own field have either died or completely retired and never have any attendance at meetings at all. I'm getting to that point. So some of the things I say are pretty well dated.
Well, that brings us to the end of my list, but certainly is there anything else that you would like to add at this point?
It's been a very complete list. Really, there's nothing much that I can add to what I've already said, perhaps at too much length. But I try to think of what I might do currently that would be of some value to the society. And happily, there isn't very much. I'm a consultant to the group that are planning the 100th anniversary celebration. And all I'm doing is criticizing a little bit and making a few suggestions. About as rewarding as I can get at the present time.
You said you were also writing these things for Interface too,
yeah,
which I think very useful and very helpful.
I'm not sure that it's helpful. I said, I think that some of the things were accompanied by a bit of not poetic license, but prosaic license. Also, occasionally I indulge in what I like to call the poo-bah syndrome. You know what I'm referring to?
I think so.
Poo-bah of Mikado. In other words, occasionally do a little bit of decoration to, as Pooh-Bah said, to lend verisimilitude to an otherwise bald and uninteresting story. Well, one of the things that, as far as the society is that I'm concerned about, frankly, is successor to Sally Kilfoyle. She's the director of publications and an extremely capable and very interesting woman. It'll be hard to find somebody the equal of her. I'm continually astonished at what is done in the way of physically publishing material with such a small staff. I've had, in one way or another, a fair amount to do with publication. And I just sometimes can't believe how much material they turn out of good quality with such a small staff. And I'm always interested in comparing the staff for National Geographic with staff for the Journal of the Electrochemical Society. Frankly, I think that turning out the National Geographic ought to be done by not more than 5 or 6 people, with 2 of them not doing much of anything, because it's really a poorly edited magazine, in my opinion. But they have hundreds of people making mistakes, occasionally doing something right, whereas Sally has about 5 or 6 people and turning out. Well, have you ever looked at the Journal of the Electrochemical Society?
Not recently. I've looked at it years ago, but
this is half of this month's edition. Mm. As I read it, I tear things out. Occasionally I keep something, more often I don't. It's something I learned from Clyde Crowley during the war. We had a lot of traveling to do during the war, and a lot of waiting to do in stations. Claude Coley always had a detective story, and he'd read a page, put it over his shoulder to whoever was behind. But there'd be page after page of trying to find the worst of it. You know, always when you're looking for something that's behind the door. What I'm looking for is a typical page of mathematical material. It's not mathematical. But it was a horrible editorial problem. Here's a double column table, a single column table, and illustrations. You have no idea of how much of a problem this is to edit unless you've done it. It's because you don't want to end up with any blank space.
Right.
The other one, which I don't find because this section doesn't have much math in it, but the pages that are gone had a great deal of math. And this is just a nightmare for proofreaders. Yes, when there would be page after page of this kind of expression.
I can appreciate that.
But this is half of 1 month getting this out, plus proceedings, plus interface, plus extended abstracts, and some other publications. I don't see how they do. Well, in any event, I think we covered things pretty well. Well, at least I hope so.
Oh, absolutely, and I certainly appreciate your spending the time with me this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't envy you the job of editing it.
Well, that's not as bad as transcribing. The person who puts this on paper is the one who spends most of the time.
Yeah. Well.
I think we've got some very good information, and I certainly appreciate your sharing your experiences and history with me this afternoon.
Well, it's the least I could do. Milner approached me about participating in this. I must say that I took a day or so to consider it, because I was wondering whether it would be worth not only my time, but more importantly, the time of whoever did the interview. In other words, you. Well, but I decided at least I had to keep somebody busy.
Well, I think it's been very good, and I really do appreciate it.
Well,
that's our standard release form.